105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
I think art schools in the 60s were pretty anarchic places which really attracted the sort of student who wanted to break all the rules. We think of all the sort of rebelliousness of 1967 and the Summer of Love. I think a lot of that emerged from the art school scene, to be honest. And there would have been very little in the way of formal curriculum. And I think a lot of students who went to art school couldn't really do anything else. You didn't need qualifications for art school. Quite a lot of musicians went to art school because that was where they could do music as well as art, and there were no popular music courses like there are today. I think if Syd Barrett was around today, he'd have been in Anglia Ruskin doing our popular music BA course rather than painting. So,
and it's interesting, he expressed himself well initially in paintings and then the music and then going back to the paintings as well after that.
Yes, I think he always saw himself first and foremost as an artist, and I think that's what happens to quite a few of our students. We've been listening here to Hannah Farthing singing, and she's one of our illustration students. And I was talking to her just now, and she was saying, I said, do you regret coming to art school rather than going to music college? She said, no. I really wanted to do art first and foremost. The music is a sideline, and I love it. And maybe studying the music takes a little bit of the pleasure away, perhaps, for someone like that. So I think a lot of students like that combination, and they like to keep the music as a hobby and something to really enjoy.
And we've got the plaque which is going to be unveiled to us in a few moments' time. But around the college, around the art rooms, is there evidence of Syd and his work anywhere?
His ghost is still there, really. I mean, we often talk to visitors about how there's an illustration studio with a mezzanine office where we know that Pink Floyd played one of their first gigs in December 1966. And so when I look up there, I almost see the band playing, to be honest. So I think the students are less aware, probably, but they are aware that this is a place of creativity, and that creativity transcends a lot of disciplinary boundaries. So we have lots of students who might be on a fine art course but are making films. They might be on a fashion course but they're also photographers, and sometimes they get off into music or into creative writing. I think creativity, when people are creative, it expresses itself in all kinds of different ways, and it still does.
I've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell and rings and things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could, but I borrowed it. You're the kind of girl that fits in with my world. I'll give you anything, everything.
There's 40 plus sites like this happening at this moment, where plaques are being unveiled for significant people in the music industry, and not just people actually, but places as well. There are some buildings that are also featured that played their part in the building of this wonderful music scene that we have in this country.
I noticed when I was looking through the list, another Cambridge connection, BBC WM in the West Midlands, have Nick Drake as their nominated person.
Yeah, I think, hasn't Nick Drake got a few Cambridgeshire connections as well? I'm sure his name came up when we were thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's Fitzwilliam.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, in Cambridgeshire, there was a huge discussion on our airwaves about who it should be and where it should be and what was the right location and what was the most fitting location. It's really, really difficult to decide, and I hope everybody feels that we've done Cambridgeshire proud with this choice today.
And how was the decision actually taken in the end?
It was a combination of ideas that were put forward from a group of listeners, and also we threw it open on our own phone lines to just generally see who wanted to come forward. They went to a judging panel in, I think, BBC Centrally. Mike Reed, former Radio 1 DJ, very heavily involved in that. I think he's sort of the head man for this particular project. Some thought went into obviously making sure there was a good cross-section of artists, good cross-section of music styles, locations, and that was how the final decision came to be.
Rosemary, how did Syd feel about his time here?
He absolutely loved it. His real love was art, and the time he spent here and afterwards on to Camberwell was absolutely perfect. That's when he was really at his happiest.
How much of his artwork did you keep around the house?
Well, he wasn't very good at keeping it. He would enjoy art and he would do big pictures, but then he tended to destroy them. It was part of his makeup. I never understood it, but there isn't very much left.
It's a shame. And the music side of things, which of course we do have a record of, how do you think he balanced that with the art?
Well, he didn't do the two together. He left art, really, to do the music. And luckily, years later, he went back to the art, and that's really where he was happy.
And being here today amongst so many people, there's a fantastic turnout. It's as if the Ruskin remembers him, and so does Cambridge. And you, of course, had the honour of pulling the from the side of the plaque. That must have been very pleasing for you.
Absolutely thrilling, yes. He would have been delighted.
Arnold Lane.